Following up on our story as of yesterday, you know those guns that went missing? What was it? 160, right? From that Norwood Police Station SAPS 13 store. Now, following months of public outrage, a probe into the station has revealed the theft of, well, I think the figure is 158 firearms. Three senior police officers have also been implicated. Now, last year, a robbery led to a police officer being killed, and it was found that firearms used came from the Norwood Police Station SAPS 13 store. You know, this particular issue is not going away anywhere or going anywhere far anytime soon. Many say it's a chronic issue, a chronic problem in South Africa. Norwood is just a symbol of a greater problem, that where guns go missing, guns that's supposed to be in the safe care and the custody of SAPS, of higher authorities that want many people or demand that people turn in their firearms, well, from there it goes missing. Joining us this evening, Damien Insulin, SA Gun Owners Association, OSAGA Chairperson. Good evening, Damien.
Good evening, Ijaz, and your listeners. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your radio station.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, Damien. A probe into Norwood Police Station's SAPS 13 store has revealed a theft of 158 firearms. That's a staggering amount of guns to go missing, even over a period of a few years. Tell us more.
Absolutely. As you mentioned in your lead up to the discussion, it's a systemic administrative issue that we're dealing with the police. It's not the first time, and it probably won't be the last time. Your listeners may recall about 6 years ago, Colonel Prinsloo was involved in about 2,400 firearms being sold to gangsters in the Cape Flats. Then we had Mitchell's Plain Station losing firearms. We had Bellville South losing firearms. Between those two stations, 33 firearms have been went missing. So it's unfortunately a systemic problem, and it's certainly been growing and getting worse and worse and worse over the years, Ijaz.
You know, one thing, Damien, is that where firearms go missing because of criminality and theft, but there also seems to be a rise of police, you know, officials, policemen and women, being actually negligent with their firearm, it going missing from the personage of a police officer who's on holiday somewhere. How much of a problem is that?
Well, that's also part of the problem, and again, it comes down to training. You know, we've got the systemic problem with within the police service, that the training and the accountability of the police is just going down and going south. With the lack of training, the lack of sort of abilities on the part of the police to sort of educate and train their own police officers. So part of the problem, as you identified, is the loss of the police, their own police firearms. But here we're dealing with a bigger problem, in that the SAPS 13 firearms are firearms that have been added in terms of amnesties, perhaps in commission of crimes, and these are now landing up, these which are evidence potentially are landing up in the hands of criminals, and that is where, unfortunately, can only be a corrupt element. So we're not just dealing with negligence, with a police officer failing to secure his or her firearm, going on holiday or not locking it up, but here we're dealing with complicity on the part of police, because there's no ways that these firearms walk out of the SAPS 13 store on their own. There must be police officials involved in the process of handing out or getting these guns out to the criminals.
You know, Damien, SAGA has been around for a long time, about three decades now, about 30 years.
Yes.
Over that period of time, I mean, have we noticed that the problem has grown larger and to a point that it now seems to be, well, uncontrollable?
Absolutely. We started seeing missing firearms in the police's hands from about 2008, 2009 onwards, the odd case here and there, but it's sort of accelerated. And certainly in the last 5 years, the multiplicity of cases, and we had the Eastern Cape, obviously there was a different situation that got knocked off by criminals, but it's certainly becoming worse and worse and worse over time, whereas we would have one of these cases every few years. It's almost two or three a year now. So it's certainly becoming worse. So we have seen it worse, and would say it's definitely the last 10, 11 years, and certainly in the last 5 years, it's getting worse and worse and accelerating, should I say.
Is it now time, I mean, to petition government that you need another system besides the reliance on, you know, on SAPS? I mean, SAPS is there, and there are many, you know, good police officers out there. But everybody can see that their resources are stretched thin. I mean, when it comes to police officers, when it comes to actually patrolling on the ground, and gun custody is just another chapter that they have got to deal with. Is there an alternative that has been mooted, or we're not thinking about, or should be on the drawing board?
I think if we go back to basics, so training and education and then accountability. So leadership, I think one of the biggest problems with the local police stations that we see on a regular basis is leadership of the station commander at the police station. Quite often there are gaps where station commanders have not been appointed for many months or many years, and there's just not proper leadership. So if you look at a station level, if you've got good, sound leadership in training and accountability, that will resolve situations. So if we go back to basics, basically, obviously we know they're under-resourced. We know that there's just not enough boots on the ground, so to speak, just not enough police officers at stations. But at the end of the day, every single police officer should be accountable for his or her firearm. That's how we are held accountable as private gun owners. If we lose a firearm, we are held accountable, and it has serious ramifications for us in criminal proceedings, criminal prosecution, potentially, if we lose a firearm. So I think back to basics, where there's good leadership and accountability and training and administration, that will resolve this particular issue, Ijaz.
Damien, there's a number of people who actually hand in their firearms. I mean, those who are waiting licensing, or sometimes it's part of a deceased estate and the family does not want to continue ownership with, you know, a set of firearms. Then, of course, you have those firearms that have been confiscated from criminals and, you know, unlicensed firearms, and they are probably part of the cachet as well. Is there also, or is there a system of storing a firearm in the way that if it is stolen from one particular venue, it becomes unusable? That, in other words, breaking down a firearm into its two or three critical parts and ensuring that they are not stored in the same location. And if they are required for the purposes of ballistics, etc., well, at that point in time, the officer will have jurisdiction to collect them from both the venues.
I think that would be a major administrative burden on the police, to be honest with you, because in essence, obviously, the barrel is one of the most important components of the firearm, and then the frame of the firearm or the receiver of the firearm. And then you would have to have a multiplicity of sort of secure areas for the firearms to be stored. So I think that would be quite a huge administrative burden on the police to try and administer that process, where I, as an executive in state, go and hand in a firearm, and then split the firearm up for barrel going at the police station, and then the frame itself going somewhere else. I think that would be quite a difficult process to administer. And I think the problem we're sitting with is the police can barely administer what they're dealing with at the moment. And then I think it's going to create more opportunities for things to go wrong, Ijaz, in my view.
Damien, finally, I mean, I've got to ask you this. Gun-free SA says civilians are responsible for firearms getting to the hands of criminals. What's your take on this?
Well, the problem that we have is combating crime and the fact that the police are unable to combat crime. So what typically happens, someone breaks into your house, Ijaz, you happen to have a firearm in your safe, secured in your safe, and that safe is then ripped off the wall by the gangs that are well-supplied or well-organized, and then they want to blame the private firearm for that situation, when in actual fact, we just don't have enough police on the ground, or we don't have enough effective policing, and there's not enough special task force units that deal with these issues to get onto those criminal gangs that are specializing in the theft of firearms. So quite often it's a civilian who has been broken in, so therefore a crime has been committed, but they want to blame the private gun owner for a crime again that is out of the hands of the private gun owner.
Damien, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Radio Islam International and talking to us about, well, the related issues of the firearm disappearing and other issues as well. Thank you so much, Damien.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, Ijaz. All the best. Thank you. Bye.